Matthew 8 from verse 23. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region.
Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus, for your word that is all about him. And we pray now that as we look at these two wonderful stories together, that by your Spirit you would help us to see your Son more clearly and to trust him. We ask in his name. Amen. Have you ever been scared in a boat? I certainly have. Holiday in Croatia 14 years ago. We took a boat trip to a village a little way down the coast. Glorious sunny day, sea like a mill pond on the way there. Just lovely. It's just while we were looking around the village, the wind started to get up. Sea noticeably rougher. And that trip back was terrifying. Our boat thrown around on the waves, up and down, side to side. "This is it," I thought. Just two things meant I knew deep down we'd probably be okay. One was that Lisa was sat next to me laughing at me. The second was that the blokes sailing the boat were completely unconcerned, standing on the side, chatting away, not even holding on. It is usually a good sign, isn't it, if the crew look relaxed. Well, that is not remotely the case here, is it, in the first of our two stories today. Who were Jesus' disciples? At least four of them, we know. Peter and Andrew, James and John, were fishermen. They'd grown up sailing this sea. They knew it like the backs of their hands. How are they doing? Are they relaxed? Not at all, verse 25. "Lord, save us, we're going to drown," they cry. It is like that sometimes, the Sea of Galilee. The wind suddenly gets up, such storms. You can read stories online about people drowning in them still. Jesus, once he's awake, verse 26, gets up, looks out, rebukes the wind and the wave. "Stop it, be still." And they do. Completely calm, we're told. Just extraordinary, like an obedient dog with its owner. Just a word and the storm is completely still. The house I grew up in, very close to the edge of Brookwood Cemetery, so about half an hour or so away from Barkham, biggest cemetery in the UK, Brookwood Cemetery, one of the biggest in Europe. And right on the far side of the cemetery was Brookwood Station, so the shortest walking route to catch the train was right through the middle of the 500 acres of cemetery in between. No problem at all in daylight, but at night, getting off a late train back from London, very different. So tempting to take the very long way round the edge. When you didn't, when you went for it, just one strange noise and you found yourself sprinting through that cemetery as fast as you could. But this cemetery Jesus finds himself on the edge of in our second story, when finally he and his disciples reach land on the far side of the sea. There's no way you'd ever go in, is there? Not with these two men living here. Possessed by demons, verse 28. So violent. You'd always take the long way around in case you stumbled across them. One glimpse of Jesus, aggression pours out of them, doesn't it? Verse 29. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Jesus' disciples not even mentioned at this point, are they? Probably because they have run for it. But Jesus, again, it's just extraordinary, isn't it? Face to face with such evil, evil in the raw, but like a ringmaster with a lion, completely in control. Demons unable to do anything without his say-so. They're such familiar stories, aren't they, these two, for some of us? We know them well. They were in our story Bibles when we were young, maybe. But I wonder, you see, I can't help looking at these two stories and thinking, actually, do we even have a clue how much power Jesus really has? Have we ever stopped to think just how much authority he must have if he can do this? It does seem to be a big theme in this bit of Matthew that we're in right now. Maybe even the theme, the way that Jesus demonstrates the power and authority of God himself. So beginning of Matthew chapter 8, a couple of weeks ago, his authority over sickness. You're a bit like me, that centurion said. Do you remember? I speak, people do what I say. If you speak, this sickness will do what you say too. Then last week, Jesus, do you remember calling himself the Son of Man, picking up that title from Daniel 7, for the one who is given the very power and authority of God himself? That is me, he's saying. And power and authority over everything else in our lives. There's to be no, but first, Jesus, I must just do this and then I'll get to you. We saw he's over everything. And now today we see Jesus demonstrating that power and authority in other ways too. Power to calm a storm. Something, do you remember from our psalm at the beginning of the service today? Something only God can do. Authority even over evil. Demons terrifying, yes, but look, no match for their creator. Look, Matthew seems to be saying in these chapters, let me ask you again, do you have any idea just how much power and authority Jesus actually has? Have you really let that begin to sink in? Such authority, notice, he really can control things with just a word. That is always impressive, isn't it? Those teachers at school, the prefects, managers at work maybe, who only get things to happen if they make a massive long fuss, really throw their weight around, maybe even use force, and sometimes even then they can't change things. They're not very impressive at all, are they? We laugh at them behind their backs. But the person, have you got a teacher who's a bit like this maybe, who can control their class with just a word? So impressive, aren't they? They're really in charge. Just like Jesus here. Except this isn't just a reluctant workforce he's commanding or a rowdy class at school. This is a life-threatening storm on the sea. Can you imagine it? Do you ever watch Saving Lives at Sea? The wind, the waves, the spray, the shouts, the screams. So much noise. One word from Jesus, total calm. Just no wonder, is it? We're told the others in the boat were amazed, verse 27. What kind of man is this? They ask one another. Even the wind and the waves obey him. And then these demons ruining these two poor men, begging Jesus, if you're going to throw us out, please let us go into the pigs. But they can't move an inch, notice, until verse 32, he gives that command, go. And the moment he does, it is like gates are opened, isn't it? This torrent of destructive evil is unleashed into that herd, all controlled by just a word from Jesus. What do you reckon? Do we really have a clue just how much power and authority Jesus has? Yes, we want to say. Most of us, maybe not perfectly, but when it comes to words we would naturally connect with Jesus, power and authority are right up there. Of course we know what this is saying. Really? So let me ask, how has knowing that changed us? Seeing Jesus' power and authority, has it actually made a difference? It really should do. We get a sense of that, notice, from the reaction of the crowd at the end of the second story. When they eventually turn up, verse 34, having heard what's happened, what do? It's just extraordinary, isn't it? They ask Jesus to leave. They are so unsettled by his power, his authority, they just rather not have him around. A bit like a community that has a nuclear power station built on their doorstep. It's unsettling, isn't it, knowing you're so close to such power. Life won't be the same. Their response is tragic. It's not to trust him. It's not to worship him. It's to ask him to go. But it shows us, doesn't it, this power, this authority Jesus has got, it's not something we can just quietly take on board, think, yeah, we got that, nice sermon, thanks, and go away unchanged. It's meant to make a difference. So how? What is the positive alternative to doing what that crowd does in verse 34, to trying to put as much space between us and Jesus as possible? Well, three things to think about in our last few minutes now. Three things. First, realize it's not a random thing when we find ourselves in the middle of storms or confronted by evil today. It's not just bad luck that lands us there. It's Jesus. After all, this rather eventful boat trip we read about here through a storm into the face of evil. Do you remember whose idea it was? Beginning of last week's passage, verse 18, not on today's service sheet, but let me read it to you. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Didn't just happen, this trip. It wasn't even the disciples' idea. It was Jesus who led them there. Why? Well, partly so they'd learn more about him. It's quite a thought, isn't it? It's a lesson many of us learn only very slowly through bitter experience. If we're following Jesus, we follow one who has the authority to take us right through the middle of things that we would never choose. All because he wants us to know him better and to understand more of the sheer scale of his power and his authority, so that we won't just know about those things in our heads, but we'll feel them in our lives. It's worth remembering, isn't it, when we find ourselves in a storm, faced with evil. Jesus led me here. Second difference this should make. Realise that when we find ourselves in a storm or face to face with evil, we don't need to be scared. We really shouldn't be scared. That exchange Jesus has with the disciples in the boat, just glance at it once more. Verse 25, the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, sorry, it is a scary storm, isn't it? Don't worry, I'll fix it. No, he didn't. He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? It's a rebuke. We didn't expect that, did we? Why is your faith so small, he's asking. That's why you're scared. Do you see the point Jesus is making? It's not that Jesus can't or might not be able to deal with the storm. If that was the case, that would be terrifying. That would be a great reason for anyone to be scared. But that is not the problem here. Jesus is more than able to deal with this storm. The problem is his disciples are just not sure he can. This storm, it's so filled their gaze, it's got so big in their minds, and Jesus, I guess, looks so out of it as he lies there sleeping. Now suddenly they're not so sure. Jesus, the storm, hang on, who is running things round here? And suddenly the world seems to be a very scary place indeed. But don't be scared, trust me, Jesus is saying. I really am in charge of it all. And let's be honest, isn't that a word we often need to hear too, in the face of all the storms we find ourselves in the middle of as well? This virus. let's be honest, some of us are terrified of it, aren't we? Potential responses to the virus. Maybe we dodged it this week, but how will we cope if there is another big lockdown? No church. Not being able to see others like we'd want. The threat to jobs. Trying to find new ones. What about evil we might find coming our way? Bullies at school, maybe. People who were friends betraying us. The appalling legacy of abuse from people and in organisations that we thought we could trust. The way our culture is getting more and more hostile towards Christians. There are so many things, aren't there, that might make us fear. Have you, have I got authority over them? No, we haven't. That's why they seem so scary. They're way beyond our control. But what does Jesus say? He has got authority over them. Sickness, storms, demons, viruses, lockdowns, loneliness, redundancy, bullies, abuse, even persecution. Do you see what this is showing us? If you're with Jesus, you are with the one who towers over them all and commands them all with just a word. So don't be foolish, but don't be afraid. Trust him. And then finally, last thing, last difference, seeing Jesus' power and authority should make. Realise when we're in a storm of any kind, by far the best thing we can ever do is cry out to him. Verse 25 again, the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And after he'd rebuked them for their lack of faith, their little faith, he did save them. Isn't that lovely? So clouded by unbelief, so full of fear, so far short of what Jesus wanted from them, that cry of theirs. And yet still the best thing his disciples did that day. Running to Jesus for help. Does Jesus want strong faith in his people? The kind of faith that's marked out by not being fearful? Yes, he does. Does Jesus only respond to strong faith? No. He's so kind, isn't he? This reminds us Jesus responds to any faith at all. What about you? Where is your faith right now on the spectrum from weak to strong? Very fearful, barely clinging on at one end to strong, settled, confident faith at the other. Well, do you see the other thing that this story is saying? Wherever it is, your faith on that spectrum, whatever you're facing, just cry to him. Never think, first we've got to work our way up the scale a bit. Whatever state we're in, quick as we can, run to him. Let's pray. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for these reminders, insights into your power and your authority over forces way beyond our control. The storms of life, even evil itself, destructive evil in the raw. We thank you that we're given this glimpse of your extraordinary authority over these things too. We pray that you would humble us to see that, to accept that. And we pray that you would reassure us that if we're with you, we don't need to fear. When we find ourselves in the middle of these things, confronted by these things, we can know that you've led us there. You're still in charge. You're working for good. You're more than able to get us out of those situations or to keep us going through them And so we pray that you would be using the difficult things in our lives to open our eyes to see you better, to know you more, to understand more of your power and authority. And we pray too that however strong our faith does or doesn't feel, you would help us always to do the thing the disciples do in this boat, and just to cry to you. For your grace, we praise you. Thank you that you don't expect us to attain standards of faith, but any faith in you, you respond with such mercy. Thank you for what you're like. Please encourage and reassure us with these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.